But I was able to identify at least 10 different things that Jesus, shall we say, suffered, that he endured. We began looking at the price paid and said at that time, our lives should reflect the price he paid. Have you ever heard somebody say, we paid good money for this, and this is just not up to par. Well, would that the Lord would not say that about you or me. I paid a precious price for them, and this is just not up to what I paid. So we spent a little time with that. You know, the price that Jesus paid should be reflected in our lives. Our lives should bring him glory and honor and gratitude for what he went through and the price he paid. And we may yet get there, but I was just, you know, at that time really thinking, well, we just need to go through Isaiah 53, which is, among other things there, it says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So he bought our peace. And it's also where it says, by his stripes we are healed. So the stripes, the scourging, the whipping he took, he paid that price, and that brought healing available to us in our bodies as well. So price benefit. Been calling our messages here the last few times price and benefit. Price was paid. So I thought I might draw a correlation. This price provides this benefit. I've mentioned some of them, but I haven't gone through a catalog of prices paid to benefits. And I don't know that I will. I'm endeavoring to follow God on these things. But we're talking about some of them, and hopefully you begin to, just once you're made aware of it, see it as you read the scriptures, as you hear teachings. Ah, Jesus paid. Or said another way, a need comes up in your life and go, well, now, this is something Jesus paid for. And if it's already paid for, I should have it. Amen. And as we mentioned, I think using especially the gift card illustration, you don't have to wonder what God intends. He gave the gift. And when someone gives you a gift card, you know their intentions. You know their desires. They intend for you to benefit. Someone gives you a gift card to, say, a restaurant for $50, they want you to go and use every bit of that $50. Don't leave anything on that gift card. Amen? And if we can understand that, the benefits that Jesus has provided, I think we can understand the same way. If he says, by his stripes you were healed, then his intention is that you exhaust that benefit and you have healing. In fact, restoration, full restoration. It may take some time on that, but I think we can know so much just from an illustration like that. Well, we're going to continue a little bit, and I think the last two messages that I did have called again price and benefit, and we've started in the 103rd Psalm. And we'll go there again. Psalm 103 and verse 1. Psalm 103, 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do you know you got to talk to yourself sometimes? Do you know you got to get a hold of yourself sometimes? Do you know you have to recognize when you're thinking the wrong way, maybe talking the wrong way, and arrest your mouth and start saying, hey, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Yeah. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, being a psalm, I didn't check this one out, but most likely written by David. David had many occasions where he stirred himself up. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He got a hold of his emotion and his feelings, and he started setting his mouth and his thinking on the right path. And we should do the same. Amen. Amen. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It's possible to forget. It's possible to get so wrapped up and involved in what's going on in life that we kind of lose contact or lose touch or lose sight of what God has provided for us, what belongs to us, what should be ours. Like anybody, all of us can from time to time feel so beat down that it's just really hard to look up. And sometimes it's hard to encourage yourself in the Lord. And we forget some of these things. And then sometimes we try to make deals. Well, you know, if I could just get to this point, God, you know, that'll be enough. Well, that's not His intention. That's a half-used gift card, right? So sometimes people make deals with God. They forget the full benefit. They don't insist on the full benefit. And, you know, raising up in strength, let's just be honest, it requires the Lord to help. Yeah. But I have found this. How about you? If I will turn my heart and call for help and start even timidly saying, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. When I say something like that, I feel, yeah. And I can say it a little stronger, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Yeah. And you keep going like that, and that strength of God can come and can help you, and you can get to where you need to be, where you're at the top of your voice saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Forget not His benefits. And then it's always good. We see several characters in the Bible that have done this, to review history. David, I killed the lion. I killed the bear. What's a giant? That's how David could run at his giant. He had reviewed history and the faithfulness of God. And I do this from time to time. Lord, You helped us in this. You helped us in that. This turned out to our favor, and that turned, and it didn't look like it was possible. Look what God has done. And then whatever we're facing, this one will go down too. Amen. That's part of what the walk of faith is. I even shared with another minister, you know, just talking about things with Sandy and so on. I said to him, you know, when I was young in the Lord, I thought I'd just use my faith and I'll just avoid trouble. I'll just head everything off because I'll have my good confession. I'll know what the will of God is in a scenario, and He'll just deliver me from every trouble and problem before it even happens. And I learned it didn't work that way. I learned that there is trouble. I saw where Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. Oh, Jesus, did you have to say that? Yeah, you shall have tribulation. And I told this minister, what I found out was faith was for the time of trouble. Not to prevent the time of trouble, but for the time of trouble. And so it's part of this life. Until we go home and be with the Lord, there will be times of trouble of various kinds. And even there's a scripture that talks about the death of one of His saints. And the scripture says that it's precious in His sight. So even something that we may call or think of as a shortcoming, a failure, or a defeat of some kind, even that is precious to the Lord. And the Bible in several places says you can die in faith. Amen. Hebrews, these having died in faith, not having received the promises. Amen. Amen. So even that is, what God is after is that relationship with us where we walk trusting Him even when we don't understand, even if it doesn't work out. Amen. Amen. So forget not His benefits. Review history, what God has done for you before. And if you think, well, He's never done anything for me, well, read your Bible and see what He's done for others. See what He's done for others, or testimonies are valuable that way, or encouragement from another believer, maybe telling you about something that they've been through. Yeah, there's this, and this is why we need to encourage one another and testify to one another to help others. Don't forget His benefits. Don't forget His benefits. Don't forget what He bought and paid for you. And we went from there. And we looked at verse 3. Let's read that. Who forgives all your iniquities? Did a whole message on that. Who heals all your diseases? Do you notice in both cases it says all? All. And there are believers that struggle with this. He's healed all our iniquities. And from time to time, I'll be asked by somebody, you know, hey, I think I committed the unpardonable sin, you know. And you might have them fill in the blank a little bit. No, that's not the unpardonable sin. And I would say this, anybody who's concerned that they might have committed the unpardonable sin, didn't. So you study that a little bit, you find out that they become so calloused, they don't care. And basically say something along the lines, to hell with God, I don't care. Now they have counted the blood of Jesus as a profane thing. Yeah, so if you still care, you're not there. Amen. Amen. Every time I hear Brother Keith Moore leading in prayer, often over an offering, there's a line that he kind of says and uses repeatedly, what he's done for others, he'll do for me. Amen. And I see it as part of my job is to tell testimonies and stories from my life. Sandy, you used to always say you tell too much. You tell in our private business. But it's meant to what God's done for me, he'll do for you. That's why we tell those stories. Amen? And so that's important. But forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Well, what's excluded and what's accepted, an exception here? Nothing. All is all. Nothing. Then next, who redeems your life from destruction? And I think the last message, we kind of covered that. How many scriptures about God delivering you from destruction? Now, I'm sure there are plenty of times when God delivers us and we don't even know what was heading our way. Didn't recognize the danger. There's other times, let's say a car accident and an injury, yet God delivered us from death, even though we might have had an injury. We might have suffered a loss in a car or something like that. So sometimes it goes far enough. I would suppose God knows, permits certain things. Even in health arenas, there can be things that are there. And once they're there, then we can watch how God delivers from some of those things. Now, I still cannot answer a lot of my own questions, things with Pastor Sandy, but it's obvious, though this has happened, God has delivered her life from destruction over and over and over and over. Praise God. So we talked about that, and I'm not sure we did this next clause, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, and that's worthy of talking about, but I feel compelled this morning to really go to the next verse. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Did you know that the Lord wants us to have some satisfaction, a lot of satisfaction, with good things in our lives? I have driven junk cars, and I have driven good cars. Good cars are better. Amen. I've eaten poor food, and I've eaten good food. Good food is better. Amen. In fact, just far enough along on these things that I don't know what somebody might think of me, but I'm almost picky about what I eat because I want some good food. Yes, I eat junk food once in a while. I have visited Taco Bell and, one of the burger joints and stuff like that. So still love a Krispy Kreme or a Dunkin' Donut or something like that. Although you could argue that's a good thing. Krispy Kremes, yeah, that's good. Not so healthy for you, I suppose, because of all the sugar, but nonetheless. So maybe I'll say it this way. I have learned more and grown and prospered in these things. Part of it is the effect of who you're with. I have spent time with Pastor Webb, and we've gone to restaurants together. And years ago, he would talk to me, you know, sometimes he'd make clear to me, hey, I'm buying, so anything you want, whatever you want, you know. And he would talk about people so often don't really see the left-hand column of the menu, they only see the right-hand column. And they order according to the right-hand column, not the left-hand column. And just growing in the Lord, you start getting your perspective changed a little bit. And he's further than I, but, you know, he would say things, I just don't understand why somebody would order something they don't want. It's the price they want, but it's not what they really want to eat, you see. And I had to grow into that. How about you? But the Lord wants you to be satisfied with good things. The Lord gives good things. And so we're going to look at some scriptures today about that. Good things. I think we could show from many scriptures, more than we could do today, that wherever one starts, if you're going to walk with God, He wants you to take you to something a little better, and something a little better, and something a little better. And, you know, sometimes we say things like, well, this is good enough. I don't need all of that. Well, if the Lord wants to bless you, He may want you to have all of that. And not just the bare minimum, not just the squeaky get by. And so it's a renewing of the mind. The Lord wants you to have good things. And as you might grow in the Lord, you know, I can remember when a good car was one that would start every time I turned the key. And a good car was one that would make it to where I wanted to go and bring me back, right? So went through times like that. And we had one that we'd lay hands on it and command it to run in Jesus' name, and it did. I would talk to it and say, you will run for as long as I need you. And when I don't need you, then you can break down. And it happened to be a minivan, and we put lots of miles on that minivan. But the day came when we had better. Amen. Amen. God wants you to have good things. And so, you know, what is a good car? Well, a reliable car is a good car. But is that all that God would ever have you to have? He might want you to go from a good car to a really good car or a great car. And I know even to this day, I understand the stewardship of maybe buying a vehicle 2 years old and somebody's already taken the depreciation off of it. But on the other hand, I think God can handle depreciation. Right? Believing that, yeah, you could do a new car. Amen. And there's a hit there. Yes, there is. But God can supply the hit as well. So good things. What are good things? And while I'm here, maybe I'll say this. Wherever you're at, and what you think is enough and good, and then you look at somebody else and you think, well, that's just extravagant. Well, in the Psalms it says that God flows or fills a cup to overflowing. That's just too much. That's just not necessary. Yeah, it might not be necessary, but it might be God. And I would be really careful about condemning where somebody else is at about maybe clothing and house and vehicles and cars or airplanes or whatever it might be, you know. Because God's interested in supplying us with good things and taking us to a new level and to a new level and to a new level. So in our congregation, we have people at all different kinds of levels. And so when you see somebody that might be at a level or two or three or four up, we should take that as inspiration. And instead of saying, how'd they do that? You should go to them and say, how'd you do that? Because whatever you were doing, I should consider following in those same footsteps. Amen. He wants to satisfy your mouth with good things. Now the mouth would imply food and quality of food. But I think we can all see it would be anything in our life. Anything where God could take that up and take us to a new level. God is interested in good things. So when you're shopping and you have a need, maybe you go in and say, well, what's the cheap one? What's the good enough one? But maybe you ought to look at one that's got a few extra features and say, God, this would be good. This would be better. And you may have very well the witness in your heart, reach for better. Why? He wants to give you good things. So, if you are one that someone might call wealthy, or if you're one that I'm just getting by, well, how about we move out of just getting by into I'm getting by well? Or, you know what? We're starting to have some abundance and some breathing room in our lives. Amen. Amen. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. And I personally believe that he doesn't want that to ever stop at any point in your life. I'm old enough now where I could file for a Social Security benefit. It's not much, but I could. And so you go through the number crunching and figure that out. Should you do it this age? Should you do all of that kind of stuff, you know? And ask my daughter CPA, what about this? What about this? And all of that. When people talk about retirement, they almost talk about it and think about it as it's time to downsize, time to spend less, all that kind of stuff, you know. And, well, wait a minute. When does the Lord say my supply starts diminishing because you retired? Which, by the way, I don't plan on retiring in the classic sense. I heard one guy say this, retire, you mean quit working and do what I want to do? I'm already doing it. Amen. So I'm not working, I'm doing what I want to do, even though I have a job per se. So, where does that idea come from that everything needs to downsize and so on? I don't think that's in God's plan and in God's provision. He wants to satisfy your mouth with good things. I believe that even through the entirety of our lives, it ought to improve and improve and improve. It may well be that you depended on a job or you had a job and it paid a certain amount. And, and now if you're going to stop doing that job, I mean, I do understand bodies age. And I already know there's things I can't do like I used to do. I don't quite have the balance I used to have, so I do a little bit less of the climbing around up inside attics and buildings and walking on beams and all the stuff I used to do. So I know I make Diane, for instance, nervous. She come in here one time and I was standing up on a pipe up there behind the stage, standing on the pipe. I was hanging on to something too, but standing on a pipe up there. She didn't want to be around, see me up there like that. But hey, I'm getting work done, right? Anyway, I know I'm not quite what I used to be. That happens, and there might be a time, especially if your work is physical labor, when you might pull back from that. And when you don't do that job anymore, where's the money come from? I understand there's a transition there, but I think you can follow out God, which, by the way, I'll say, if you plan for it, is better than if you don't. If you invest for it is better than if you don't. Grab this abundance as early in life as you can so you can set aside some resources. And if you can get to the place where you're investing, there's some great opportunities there in investing. I just would, voice testimony to you. It's helping me. It's blessing me. last year, investment portfolio earned 16%. That's pretty good money. What did I do for it? I invested years ago. That's what I did for it. But today, what labor am I doing for it? None. Absolutely nothing. Now, not every year is that good, though I believe this year will be even better for investments. But, it would be wise. And somebody may say, well, those years are past. I'm late to the game. Well, God will help you. God will provide. He wants to satisfy your mouth with good things. Maybe while I'm here, I'll say this. If you think you can't, you can't. If you think I need to order the cheapest thing on the menu, as you know, whether it be restaurant or whatever we're talking about, well, then you better. Amen. Amen. Now, there is such a thing as getting way out ahead of your faith. But I have found again and again and again, God wants me to stretch what I'm believing for a little bit, even though I can't answer all the questions. How are we going to do that? It seemed unaffordable at the time, but I followed the Spirit of God. And when I did, it worked out. God blessed. And I look back and go, that was such a good move to do that, to believe God, to trust God. And as I think I've mentioned many times in church, you know, the things that the Lord has asked Sandy and I to do, and the things He's asked us as church leaders, He's asked us to do, we never had the money in advance. Now, I'm not saying that's the best way. It's better to have money in advance, but we have often stepped out in faith, believing that we're following the leading of God, and when we do, the resources necessary have come in. And I'm sure that it's true. If I would not have taken that step, that extra measure of resources to take care of that would not have come in. There would be no demand. There would be no need. Reminds me of, maybe some of you know who she was, Amy Simple McPherson. You know, what's that going on 100 years ago now? But she built a great church, a temple building in Los Angeles area. And she was a miracle evangelist and so on in a time where God was doing great, great miracles. But anyway, she had the leading of God to build, for the time, I think it was going to be one of the largest auditoriums in the country, if not in the world, in Los Angeles. And she was compelled by the Spirit of God to go ahead and start and build. And she didn't have the money. Well, what do you do? And she had the leading of God. Well, what's first thing? First thing is dig a hole. And so she hired a contractor to dig a hole for the foundation. And what she's famous for is this quote, you know, among other things. But she said to the contractor, dig the hole and God will fill it. Amen. And it certainly has been our testimony in this church. When I have stretched out, we're going to build this or that. Money's not there necessarily. It comes. And I've learned in many cases when I have the leading of God, I'll hire a contractor before I have the money to pay him. And by time he's finished and here comes the bill, there's the money. We have seen that over and over and over again. It starts with believing He will satisfy our mouths with good things. Amen. Now again, you can go too far. You can get out ahead of your faith, out ahead of the leading of God. And that's one of the reasons we've gone step by step. I've trusted Him step by step in this building. And to look around, all that's been accomplished, in very rough numbers, spent $1 million on the building since buying it. Well, our little church, $1 million? Yeah, over time and in faith, and God has done great things. God has done great things in many small gifts, in a few large gifts. God gets it done. He brings us a supply. So I'm always sensitive to Him that I don't get out ahead of Him, but I think there's times, probably several times, I've been behind. He's trying to get me to go ahead. Do this, do this, do this. And, of course, we have Reverend Lori Temko watching the bookkeeping at church, and I check with her, and she's a really good steward of money. And she will often say, well, we have this much. We don't have it. But she'll say, but you follow God. Amen. How much is in the account for this? Well, there's really nothing for that. Or even, we're actually behind in that department, and I've been borrowing from other place, you know. But you follow God. Amen. Amen. So I've always respected if she taps the brakes, I tap the brakes a little bit. But, you know, between us, we start endeavoring to believe God and follow God, and great things have been accomplished in our church. And so, yeah, God desires to satisfy our mouths with good things. We're going to look at a bunch of scriptures, but before we do, let's notice the second line of that verse, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, we have pulled that sentence out and quoted it to one another and have talked about the Lord renews my youth like the eagles, and we tend to think that means our physical bodies, that he reverses the effects of aging. And I know people say things like age is a number. It's how do you feel? But I want to give you another perspective on this as well. Do you know when he satisfies your mouth with good things? Like you have a need and a problem. You know, an appliance breaks in the house and you don't have the money for that. God supplies and you bring in not the bare minimum, but a good one. A better one than you thought you might buy. Do you know that makes you feel good? Satisfied. And really renewed. When you see God helping you solve problems and fill needs, and not just a need, but do it in a wonderful way. A lot of how you feel is your attitude. You want to stir somebody up. Let God solve their problems in a great way. And man, it puts spring in their step. It puts a smile on their face. It puts excitement in their voice. And they start telling people, oh, God solved this problem for me. Whoo, this is awesome. And you go from people thinking, maybe God's done with me, it's time to go home, back over into, this is an awesome life. I think I'll stay around a while. When these are together, I see where it means when you tap into God satisfying you with good things, material and non-material things, but that just stirs the soul. It brings some excitement. It restores youth. And it says, like the eagles, well, if we're talking about eagles, we're talking about flying at a high altitude, having a great perspective and seeing everything and going, woo, this is awesome. This is great. I was in trouble, but God brought me out. Like the other time, I was in trouble, but God brought me out. This is fun. This is exciting. I got to tell my family about this. I got to tell my church about this. Then you're in that phrase, life is good. You see, it starts with his desire to satisfy you with good things. Now, I know if we are sick or we have something in our body that's not as it should be, and we have maybe hospitalizations and maybe some time of literally some suffering and so on, I know that can feel like, this really sucks. This is bad. And I know, I've heard people say it, you know, I think I'm just ready to go home, be with the Lord. But when the Lord satisfies you and you gain the victory, then it's more like, I'm so glad I didn't get what my mouth said. But Lord, this is fun. You delivered me. You brought me out. You satisfy my mouth with good things. I'm progressing. I'm winning. Makes me feel young again. Amen. There's nothing like victories to stir the soul and to encourage you and to lift you up and say, how much more has God got for me? I killed the lion. I killed the bear. Any giants in the neighborhood? Come on, let's go. Your youth is renewed when you gain victories, receiving the good things that God intends for you. Can you see that? You know, when we have some great testimony or some great thing happen around the church here, there are Mondays where Lori and I, you know, get the report on what the offering is. There are Mondays that we are just floating. Woo! What a great day. Man, God came through. We got the victory. Lori loves it when she can pay bills. Yeah, we're going to pay that off in full. There's been through the years a couple times, you know, some contractors a little bit expensive, and we've worked something out, you know. I think with the landscaper back when we did that, because there was a parking lot, everything, there was a lot going on there. I said, look, I'm going to pay you in three payments, and they're going to be 2-3 weeks in between. No problem. And we did that way. But, you know, we pay something like that off, and she tells me, and we get excited. You know, whew, praise God, it's paid off. Let's go celebrate. Let's go have lunch. That's how I celebrate. We need lunch. We need something good to eat, right? Anyway, that renews my youth. I have had times where it felt like, as a pastor, am I done? This don't seem to be working, you know. And always it's just, if you lose certain people or you lose some people, it's hard for me not to have that hurt. You know, I think you could understand that, the pain of perceived rejection. That's hard. That hurts. But anyway, you know, I'm ineffective. Is the Lord done with me and all that? But sometimes you gain, and you're like, whoa, this is awesome, right? I'm not done yet. I'm going to keep going. And God's going to bring us out. God's going to bring us through. That renews my youth. Amen. Amen. Good things, good things, good things. Great things. I'm going to go quickly through some scripture, and I realize here, maybe some of you saw some of the services where I was, where Brother Keith Moore, the Greater Faith Conference, and he really shed some light that would be applicable here as well, in terms of you can know God's will, but you have to take it further and know His ways. Because when God wants to work a work, He doesn't do it the same way every time. And if you don't go far enough into finding out, God, how or where do I look? To me, it's kind of saying the same thing as ask, seek, knock. You know, you seek because God did it this way one time, but He may do it a different way another time. I'm going to go through the scriptures that basically will reinforce, well, there will be His way in this also, but mostly we start with, is it the will of God that I prosper, that I grow, that I receive good things? Would it be okay today if I go to have lunch and, hey, let's get a steak, you know? I was going to say instead of a taco, but they're pretty expensive these days too. I've spent as much for tacos as I have for a steak, so maybe my illustration's falling apart here. But anyway, you know, dare to believe and take a step. Take a step. But so we're talking through these scriptures. I'm reinforcing it's the will of God to bless you with good things. Now, knowing what His desire is and knowing His will is a different thing from knowing His ways or the way He's going to do it this time. You know, you have to seek God for that. As I mentioned to somebody already this morning, you know, if God didn't use different ways, if you just think of David, when he faced Goliath, How did he do that? What was he armed with? Sling and stone. And God delivered Goliath into his hand with sling and stone. Some people, not recognizing that God may move another way, not seeking that way, will be stuck with a sling and a stone. Well, this is how God does it. And you see, David didn't stick with the sling and the stone for every battle that he faced. No, he did different things at different times. And he's a good example of seeking God. God, would you have me go up in the battle? And there are times when he said, no, don't go up there and face them. Go around over here and watch me ambush them. So it's very important. Find out the way. That's the daily walk of faith with God. That's what prayer is about, finding out, God, how do you want to do this? What should I do? What move should I make? You know, should I take this medicine, which I would if it's helpful, unless he tells me different, you know? Or if God definitely leads, don't do that, do this, that's his way. So you need to determine which way or follow him in what his ways are on things. But let's go as quick as I can. I understand Emily had me beat. She was shorter in her preaching. Exodus 3:8. I try. I really try. I was telling my son-in-law once, you know, hey, what you complaining about? We got out of church 20 minutes early, you know, 20 to 12. We got out one of the services. He said, or 10 minutes late. Okay. He's my son-in-law. He can get away with that. Exodus 3:8. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, this is a phrase that's used over and over and over, and well, what's a land flowing with milk and honey? It was a phrase that expressed abundance. So we see here a good land, not just a land, but a good land. If God's doing something for you, he's going to do it good. He's going to do it in abundance. You know, if you're just believing the minimum, this is just barely get us by, okay, he'll help you with that. But if you follow his heart, it'll probably be something a little more. Or if you do have to, compromise or scrimp a little bit, it should be temporary. Amen. God will bring you out of that. But he was bringing them to a land, a good land, a large land. Right now, the house where I am, the Lord has blessed us, and I've been able to add to the property, buying adjacent things. And so we're on 17 acres. And do I need 17 acres? I'd probably say, yeah, I need 17 acres. But a lot of people say, nobody needs 17 acres. Well, he brought me to a good land and a large land. Amen. Amen. And nothing wrong with more acres than that. Nothing wrong with multiples. You know, if you look, I think it's Mark 10, for those who lay down their lives for the gospel, who no one who has left houses, lands, mothers, fathers, brothers, and sisters for the gospel's sake, who shall not receive in this life 100-fold houses, lands, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, and so on. And I've noticed right now I own 2 houses. I'm behind. That's not 100-fold just yet. So maybe there should be more. Amen? Or more properties. That's not how people usually think. That if you grow up in a church, like most churches, that kind of thinking will be thought of as greedy, not godly, and all of that kind of thing. But God would bring you into a land, into a good land. Can we say house? Into a house and into a better house. Into a large land, into a large house Well, we don't need all that space. Well, I like it. Amen. We built a house for my mom and dad some years ago, and they had their requirements, and we put that on a plan and everything. And my dad said something about, well, I want windows that, you know, look out the back of the house, kind of like what you got. Yeah, yeah. And I looked at the plan and added 10 feet to it. And they were saying, well, we don't need all of that. Oh, what's need got to do with it? We're advancing. We're going up. And we added that 10 feet on that house. That was a good idea, wasn't it? Now that you have it, you couldn't quite imagine that house being 10 foot shorter. That'd be small. That'd be small. So do they need all of that? No. What's need got to do with it? Need is the starting point. Amen. Need is the starting point. So if it's a blessing to you, God will give it to you. Large. Amen. And, you know, I don't really want to move from where I am because I like the situation on the river, family nearby, the house, all that kind of stuff. But I'm open if the Lord would say, you know, build another house. And she used to say things like, well, let's build something smaller so we don't have to clean so much. And to which I answered, oh, we'll hire people for that. And where we're at right now, we do hire. You know, with my cleaning lady doesn't do it anymore. But that was a joke. It's supposed to be funny. But anyway, you know, just to me it seems to violate a principle of God. If I ever built a house again, I'd maybe make some modifications. I don't know about finding a situation, woods in the river and the land around and the deer and all of that kind of stuff. That might be difficult to find, but I wouldn't build smaller than what I have. You know, I want a room that's a library. And that's just what it is. It's a library. And it has a comfortable place to sit, to read, maybe study. And I want one of them bookcases that's wall to ceiling. In fact, I started drawing up plans to add one to my house that I have and started doing the work on pricing that out. But, you know, one that's so tall you got to have the ladder that rolls over and you climb up to get those books. I think I'm going to have that. I'd build a whole room just for that if I built another house, you know, and maybe some other things, you know. But anyway, God will bring you into a large land. Deuteronomy 28. How do you pick one verse out of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy? Let's just go. Start at the verse. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Remember I mentioned His ways? Not just His will. There's one of them. Obedience to the voice of God. It says, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And every time I read that, I see, like I had when our children were small or the grandchildren, you know, one of them particularly now, you know, likes to, if I go, like that, and he'll turn around and go running, you know, and then Papa's got to catch him. Likes to be chased. Actually, more than one of them is like that. But this is what I see. You know, the Lord says, blessings. And I, like a little child, will take off running. And he comes after me, and he tackles me down and tickles me with good things. Amen. The blessings overtake you. Instead of saying, I don't know if I could catch a blessing, well, it just doesn't seem like we can ever catch a break, catch a blessing. That's wrong, 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 wrong. Blessings shall overtake you. And this is where I got that phrase. I haven't said it in some years, you know, but people talk about money, you know, money seems to go so quickly and all that kind of thing. I learned I don't say that. And so I developed something the Lord instructed me to say. Money finds me. It chases me down, and it jumps in my pocket. If you don't have money jump in your pocket, you might try changing what you say, what you believe, pick up what I say. Amen. These blessings, money chases me down. Money finds me. Money jumps in my pocket. Amen. Amen. Verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses. Earlier it said your basket, your bread basket, and so on. That's your day-to-day needs. What's a storehouse? That's where you put the extra. That's where you store it up. That's where you have a full supply. And I mentioned retirement as people think about it earlier. Well, if you build up a storehouse and the Lord's commanded the blessing on the storehouse, you can go to the storehouse. And what you need is in the storehouse rather than a fresh episode of, oh God, we have a bill. Amen. Amen. And a wise man and woman will open a storehouse and start putting something in. From time to time, you know, I mention this. If I can get a hold of somebody and get them started with some saving and some investing. Pastor Webb sent me a book I'm reading right now. It's called Anyone Can Be a Millionaire. Do you believe that's true? Can you? I'm not talking win the lottery. No. I realize when we're older, there's less time, and time's a real important factor. But I will share with you something I kind of heard Mark Hankins talk about a little bit, and it's been our practice for years. Now, Sandy being hurt has interrupted some of this, but my plan is 10, 10, 10. We give our tithe, another 10% offerings, various places and ministries, and have been faithfully keeping that still. And then the third 10%, invest. Put away. Put it in the storehouse. Now, we started years ago, and if you didn't start years ago, it won't have time as much to accumulate. But I thank God we did. And as I might have mentioned before, there have been past years where I've earned more in the investments than I have on my job. Praise God. Would you like to have that? I just told you how. Amen. And if you have less time, okay. But you can still do more and better than you are now. It's never too late. You know, if you could take a little bit of money in the market this year and earn double digits on it, would that not be a good thing? Yeah. And mention being a millionaire. Do you know it would only take something like $4 or $5 a day invested to become a millionaire? That's a Starbucks. So if you bought a Starbucks, that's your anti-millionaire move. Now maybe you can have a Starbucks and become a millionaire, but anyway, I'm just pointing out he blesses the storehouse. So lest you get upset with somebody who may appear to have wealth in their life and may appear to not have the same troubles that another one has, they may have been working the principle of the storehouse for a long time. Amen. Amen. Command the blessing in your storehouse and all to which you set your hand. There's another way. Sometimes you got to set your hand to do. That is work, right? And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he's sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, increase of your livestock, the produce of your ground, the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give. You might say, I don't have livestock. Well, that was their method of employment. It was an agricultural society. Well, not as much anymore today. So this would be your workplace, your job, what you do with your hands. Verse 12, the Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So there's a lot of how you do it in there, in addition to what all He would do for His people. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and verse 7. Deuteronomy 8, 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. Anybody ever have times of scarcity? Probably most of us have had those times. You're not supposed to stay there. The blessing of the Lord will bring you out of scarcity. It goes on and says, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full. So you're supposed to be able to have a life that is full. Not barely getting by, but full. All you want to eat, all you want to have around you, just blessing everywhere. It says, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Same chapter, 18th verse, Deuteronomy 8, 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. And in looking at this verse particularly, it doesn't say He gives wealth. He gives ability to get wealth. Some people steward that well, some don't. Some people follow God's ways, some don't. But He gives to His covenant people the ability, and can you see that word? Wealth? It's not just to get enough. It's not just to get a little extra. It's the ability to get wealth. I don't know what you would consider wealth. You know, people think different things about wealth. Used to be if you said, you know, so-and-so's a millionaire, you were saying quite something. I don't know if it's what it was anymore. But nonetheless, whatever your definition of wealth is, Brother Hagin used to say, having more than enough in an abundance is wealth. Amen. By that definition, you know, it would include a lot more people than if you were, say, to pick a number. You know, sometimes people talk things like, didn't last week gold set a new record high? I think it crossed $5,400 an ounce. And I remember at $1,200 an ounce telling people, oh, that's so overpriced. You know, but anyway, it's $5,400 an ounce. And I think the Lord gave me wisdom on how do you think about that? Gold is worth so much now. No. It's the dollar is worth so much less. That's what has happened. We talk about you own a house and it appreciates. No, it's probably actually less because houses deteriorate, right? But the money value has gone down so much that it takes more of it. But nonetheless, God gives the ability, the authority to get wealth. And it says why He does that, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. I realize thus far these scriptures were to Israel. Israel, God's covenant people. And we, the church, the born again today, are also God's covenant people. And sometimes people take wrongly the Old Testament and set it aside like it doesn't apply. Well, God didn't change. That was His Word, and the New Testament is His Word. Some things did change, but this covenant did not change. In fact, it says we have a better covenant established on better promises. That means everything that God's covenant people had, Israel, then, we have and more. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 1:19. Here's a little bit of the how and the what. What is the will of God in this verse? But it says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Let's just put it in the context of maybe a car or a truck. If you're willing and obedient, what will you drive? The good car, the good truck. Amen. Don't look at somebody's car and think, that's just too much. That's just too much. You know what? It may be an indication that they were willing and obedient. Amen. Yeah. As with Dr. Jack last Sunday, right? He had to show me his new car. And the car he had before was quite special, really something. He had a Porsche. I don't remember the model number, but it was a sweet ride. And I said, yeah, you got a new car. He said, well, yeah, I totaled the other one. I thought, uh-oh, you're in an accident? He said, well, no, we had a thunderstorm roll through, real heavy rains, and I'm going down the street there, and here's a puddle, you know, and I don't know how deep it is, and whew, I went off into it, and it got worse and worse, and he said, uh-oh, and he hit the gas to go on through, and that caused all the water to come up over the hood and everything, and it flooded out the engine, hydrolocked it, and there it was, right, stuck, right in the middle. And he said he had to call guys from church and come and push him out of that puddle. Well, insurance company totaled the car. It flooded and ruined the car. Well, now he has a BMW 540i. Sweet ride. Sweet ride, you know. Awesome. And he bought it with 5,000 miles on it at a very discounted rate. You know, I forget exactly the story, but it was one of these, you know, the story about, well, a little old lady in California. Well, it was a little old lady in Florida was driving the car and wanted to change something, and they took in the car that day and said that we just want to move it, and he bought it at a fantastic price. Amen. But even if it wasn't a fantastic price, you know, the Lord, if you're willing and obedient, wants you to eat the good of the land. I've got a good pickup truck, but I'm feeling a little something that maybe says, maybe a new one, right? Maybe a new one. Nothing wrong with my truck. It's 4 years old, 68,000 miles. Well, that's not bad. Still in great shape. Needs a washing and a cleanup, but, you know. And from a financial perspective, you're in that sweet spot where paid for, and the depreciation's gone, and it's worth a lot more, you know, and all that kind of thing. It's still got good value, and it just wouldn't make sense to go, not on paper, make sense to go buy a new one, face depreciation again and all of that, but so, nah. But on the other hand, if God wants me to eat the good of the land, maybe I should be in a new truck. So, I'm not saying you will, but if you would see Pastor Dan in a new pickup truck, just say, brother's willing and obedient. He's eating the good of the land. Amen. Matthew 7:11. Matthew 7:11. Jesus himself speaking, if you then, being evil, or you should understand that as a natural man, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him. How much more does God want to give you good things? Here it says, to those who ask him, what do you dare ask God for? A lot of times we come short of what he would do because we think that's asking too much. Maybe not. Maybe not. You driving a car over there, Sandy? Yeah, that's what she's doing, driving a new car. How much more? John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus speaking says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus is contrasting the devil's work and his work. And when he says more abundantly, the language in Greek would be, you know, super abundant, mega abundant. He's making this huge. And it doesn't come across in English language exactly the same way. But super abundantly would be close. So Jesus came so that you could live super abundantly. Not just enough. Not just enough with a little extra, but a lot of extra. Super abundant. More than you need. Much more than you need. And he's contrasting the work of the devil. Well, the work of the devil is to steal, kill, and destroy. I ask you, does he do that in this life or the next? It's in this life. When we move to heaven, he won't be around. Therefore, in Jesus contrasting his work and the devil's work, he is telling us, in this life, I've come that you have it super abundantly. Amen. Because I know some people, well, that's about heaven, you know, that's streets of gold and all of that, right? Well, yeah. But he's talking about this life, this time, now. 1 Timothy 6:17. 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in this present age. And you might say, yeah, them rich people. Hold on. If you were to compare anyone in the United States with the rest of the world, we are all, every one of us, rich people. Amen. And somebody might say, well, I'll bet I'm the poorest one in this room. You're still rich. Amen. And, I mean, when you read this, what's your reaction? Command those who are rich. Is your reaction, yeah, I know somebody who's rich? Or was your reaction, ooh, I better pay attention. It's talking about me. That's thinking a little bit different. Amen. When I read that, did you think, uh-oh, Bible's talking to me? I do. I did. And I'll tell you this, I did long ago before I was at where I'm at. I knew that he became poor so that I might be made rich. I am rich. I am rich. Does that cause any difficulty when I say something like that? Anybody choking on that? Do you say that? You should. The Bible tells us, let the weak say, I am strong. Right? And it doesn't say, let the poor say, I am rich. That's a song that does that. But it's implied and understood. Let the poor say, I am rich. Are you feeling a little poor? Don't say that. I am rich. I am full of blessing. I have abundance all over my life. Jesus came and he became poor so I might be made rich. Jesus came that I would have life and have it super abundantly. Amen. So again, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. Yeah, shouldn't be prideful about that. You know, don't need to brag on that. You shouldn't make people feel bad if they have less than you, which causes many who are abundantly blessed to not talk about it, but they should talk about it in a way that could encourage others, in a way that's not prideful and haughty. Years ago, this comes to mind, so I guess I'll share it. You know, with a brother in the Lord. In conversation, it came up where he said, I work hard for my money. And the minute he said that, something on the inside of me just went, And then I heard the voice of the Lord say to me, he said, yeah, and he always will, talking like that. Work hard for his money. We need to be real careful about we work, we earn. I have testified that I invest and save. And if you were asking me, Dan, are you wealthy? Yeah, I'm wealthy. Well, how'd you do that? The first thing I need to talk about is the blessing of the Lord. Oh, the Lord helped me and blessed me. Did I work? Did I save? Yes, that was part of it. But am I wealthy because of my actions? No, because of the blessing of the Lord. And the Lord, as we read the scripture, blessed the work of my hands. So there are many people of resources and wealth who want to talk about, I did this. You know, even they say, I saved, I invested. Well, I can tell you for the believer, you had the blessing of the Lord helping you. And I have had the blessing of the Lord helping me. Where I'm at today, I have to talk about the blessing of the Lord. Amen. I have to talk about following His word. I have to talk about being willing and obedient and things like that. But if we read on, not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, you know, you can get it to a point where you think, I've got enough money laid up that I don't have a worry. You know what? It can go so quickly. Something happens, and, you know, if you feel comfortable with $1 million in the bank or $2 million in the bank, let me tell you, if you're not following the blessing of the Lord, that can go pretty quick. That can go pretty quick. And so there's no amount of money that secures your life, but the blessing of the Lord does. Now, if you have those resources in the storehouse, that's a good thing because you can do a lot of good work with it. And we're going to see that a little bit here next. It says not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things. If Pastor Dan has a new pickup truck, that's included. That's giving to me richly all things. For what reason? To enjoy. God actually wants to bless you just because you enjoy it. Just because, not because you need that. And here's where Pastor Webb really confronted me years ago. Because I was interested in, working on maybe I had a pilot's license by then, but two sons in aviation, and he flies, at the time he was flying a private jet, and, you know, accomplished aviator and all of that. And I was talking about, I want to have an airplane, and you know, and I'm talking about that a little bit. And I could see where, you know, if we have ministry purposes for the airplane, and it would make sense, you know, and make sense and have ministry purposes, and when there's enough of that, I can believe God for that. And he said, hold on. And he reminded me, does God give you just what's necessary for ministry purposes, or does he give the desires of your heart, which would come from the Psalms? Or here, richly to enjoy. Is enjoying it reason enough that God would do it? Yes. Now, maybe you wouldn't enjoy an airplane. I do. I enjoy it a lot. Amen. Maybe there's something else you would enjoy. I know David's got to have a muscle car or a hot rod or something around. You just enjoy that, don't you, David? Yes, he does. See that? You may not care about that. My dad has an old tractor. Why? He enjoys it. Amen? You don't need another reason other than you enjoy it. Years ago, Pastor Sandy said, Lord, It'd be nice to have one of them side-by-side four-wheelers. Never prayed on that again. And the Lord brought it into our life. And I won't take the time to tell how it all happened, but it was a blessing from heaven. Something really discounted. So why? Just because of enjoyment. Just because we enjoy it. And then when you're in that place where the Lord's given you richly all things to enjoy, there's some instruction. Remember, it started out, command those who are rich. Well, that's us. It says next, let them do good, that they be rich in good works. Other scripture says, don't lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, but lay up treasure in heaven. Treasure on earth can be transferred to heaven by using earth's treasure to do some good things. And then it becomes a treasure in heaven where Jesus said moth and rust and thieves can't get to it. Amen. I had the Lord ask me one time, what is the purpose of wealth? Because I was struggling about helping out my daughter with housing, buying a house, you know, and I thought, this is dumb. Why should I spend money and all of that? And I was going back and forth on that. And the Lord asked me, what is the purpose of wealth? And thinking about that, several scriptures come to mind. And I said, Lord, the purpose of wealth is to do good things here for people. And he said, well then, okay, I bought the house. Amen. Is that a good thing for you, Tammy? Yes. She has a place of her own, and we're making it nicer and nicer, and doing a bathroom remodel for her. And even at that, you know, she takes care of her mom so much, she's not working much, and could she afford that? No. No. But decided once I started, you know, we're going to do this the way it should be done. So it'll be a granite countertop and, you know, all the nice stuff. Praise the Lord. Let them do good that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come. What we use wealth for here on earth transfers to some sort of benefit in heaven. It creates a foundation for us in heaven. I don't know exactly what that'll be, but I'm sure I'm going to like it. Amen. Amen. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. Implying that our eternal life will be improved for having wealth here and doing good things with it. Amen. Well, you can't buy your way in heaven. Nobody said that. You're not buying. You're transferring and investing. You're taking what he gives you and doing good things with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Jesus paid the price that we would have this benefit. Good things. Good things. Who satisfies, quoting Psalm again, who satisfies our mouths with good things, so that, here's the effect, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Throw that up there again if you would. Fifth verse of Psalm 103. Melissa will get that for us there. Folks, this is why we endeavor to believe God for more in the material area. He wants to satisfy your mouth with good things. With good things. And we didn't talk too much about all of the ways that God does that. But knowing his will that he would give good things, you're not done. You follow his ways and you have things like bring the whole, here we are at offering time. Bring the whole tithe in the storehouse that there may be supply in my house. See if God will not open the windows of heaven for you. See that he will rebuke the devourer. Do you have to tithe? No, you don't. But there's a benefit. The devourer being rebuked, the windows of heaven opened in blessing. You don't have to have that. I have that. Praise God. So, and then Jesus said, give, and it shall be given to you. good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom? Well, that's one of the hows he does that. God doesn't have U.S. dollars. He can't write you a check. But he moves in the circumstance of this earth and in the hearts of people. And he can move resources to you that way. But that's one of the hows, you see. Praise the Lord. And we have opportunity before us right now. This is what we're doing. We're bringing the tithe. We're giving good measure. And God will reward these things with what? With more good things, so that our mouths are satisfied with good things. And man, we get a lot out of that. We get our youth renewed like the eagles. Amen. Father, we thank you and bless you for this time, this service, this message, and this offering that we now receive. We thank you for all of our needs and even desires of our heart, and even the good things. Even around this building, we're going to do good things. We are doing good things. We're not buying the minimum. We're getting the good stuff. Father, we thank you for all of this working and opportunity to participate in it as well. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.